everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Random Chatter. This is episode number 186. And we're recording this on July 1st, 2018, in the heat of summer. It is really hit here in Connecticut. It was, I don't know, like 350 degrees today. I think I'm 45 minutes from when I was done. It was just brutal out there today.
It's ridiculous. It's almost 9:30 and it's still like 87 degrees outside here.
Yeah. Lizzie, stupid. We don't know how you do it down there in Florida. It doesn't work for me.
I love my heat. I love it.
Tim, we're talking
about why don't you come up here and take it?
I have some already here, thank you.
You can have more.
Us Northerners don't do well when the thermometer hits 90.
No.
Well, I never did well in New York when it hit below 60, so goes both ways.
Yeah, there were times when I lived in Florida, I pulled out my leather jacket when it got to like 50. Like, where's the leather jacket?
Like when it's 75, I need like a thick hoodie. I'm like, that.
75 is shorts and t-shirt.
I said a hoodie,
weather.
Not a parka, okay?
I would love like 50 degrees right now. That would be fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that'd be 50, so comfortable.
50 at night, 75 during the day. That's like my ideal weather.
Yeah.
I mean, I hear you. San Diego. I heard that was like the best weather in the country.
Yeah, San Diego is amazing. Basically, any of that like SoCal weather is the best. No humidity. It's the best. We have high humidity.
Well, anyways, yeah, you do down in Florida, definitely. And Tim and I have just bad hair days when it gets hot and humid.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so even though you feel very hot, you're constantly just like drenched.
Control.
Yeah, your hair.
Mm-hmm, well, let's get on with the episode instead of complaining about the heat, because nobody's listening going, what are these guys talking about?
Welcome to Random Chatter's new weather channel.
Well, they know who we are. It's Tim, Lizzie, and Lou. Come on.
But who's who?
We've got the gang back together.
I'm Tim.
I'm your host, Lizzie.
Yeah, welcome.
And the bald guy over there is Lou.
It's Freaky Friday Random Chatter Edition.
Does that mean you have to hate Ant-Man, Lizzie?
No, I take it back. Yes. I want to go back to Lizzie.
Okay, well, the lovely voice you hear there is Lizzie. Lizzie, how are you tonight?
Hello,
I'm doing
melodious
quite well,
sounds
thank
of my
you.
Voice.
Tim, I
wasn't
talking to you.
Tim, no, none of you.
The show's going.
I'm doing wonderful. I am on a Disney high because I went to Toy Story Land yesterday
for
the opening.
Was that the first day? Oh, nice. First day.
Well, it was supposed to be, but then they did a surprise soft open on Friday night, which I did not know about.
They did
the big opening ceremony with Tim Allen. He was there
Friday.
And then they decided to do the soft open Friday night, and a bunch of people like ran there. And I was at home crafting for the next day, and I watched all my Insta story, and I was like, darn it, crafts, you got in the way. But my crafts came out really well, so it's fine. If you want to see them, go over to Instagram. I have it on my highlights. I did my whole Toy Story Land reel on my highlights, with my outfit and everything. It was so much fun.
Sweet.
The land is amazing.
It's good stuff. Lizzie has really good pictures.
Awesome.
So fun. The crew I was with is a bunch of Instagrammers, and it was very visually fun to be around. And the new roller coaster is amazing. Slinky Dog Dash is so much fun. So if you're in my neck of the woods and want a buddy to go on with, let me know. I'll come with you. I have an AP holder, so I'd be happy to meet somebody if they want to come. So come down here. You're my friend.
Sweet. Huh, Tim, how are you? Not as good as Lizzie, I guess, right?
But not as good as me.
No. I cannot compete with that high. Aside from being like a little too warm, I'm doing pretty well. I'm doing pretty well. We were just talking the bonus content that I've kind of settled all my plans for Dragon Con. So I'm excited about that. That's kind of the next big thing coming up for me.
Sweet.
It's going to be a good time.
Sweet. Yeah, I'm jealous of Dragon Con. It's the con I haven't been to yet, and I'd like to go maybe another time. But my summer's turning into just a mess of work and everything else. So who knows what's going to happen this year.
Yep,
I missed one of the cons in Connecticut this past weekend. So, We shall see.
Can't we'll get move them all.
On. I know, I know.
And it's Connecticut. You could have been there in 5 minutes.
I know. But, yeah.
Well, coulda, shoulda, didn't.
Woulda, shoulda, didn't. Okay.
Lou, I'm going to be in Connecticut in 2 weeks.
Are you?
Yeah.
Nice.
We'll have to talk
gonna
about that.
I'm going
to
have FOMO.
Huh? Huh?
You guys are such old men.
I didn't hear what she said. What'd you say?
I said, I'm going to have such FOMO.
Fear of missing out.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
But
yeah.
Can we talk about how perfect both of your haunts were? Like,
they were like,
what's, so, secret, what's yeah. that the new kids, the kids are saying these days? Are they saying FOMO? Huh?
Yeah, yeah, I know, I know. No, I'm going out there for a friend's wedding. So, you know, it's just going to kind of be one of those
friends.
Out and back things. But
nice. Yeah,
I don't know.
Grab a beer or something while you're here.
Absolutely. We'll talk offline. I got to see where definitely. I'll be relative to where you are and all that good stuff.
Cool.
And
cool.
Liz, of course, you're invited.
Yeah, Lizzie, definitely.
Good. Yeah. No, I'll be there at the friend's wedding. I'm going to crash and grab a beer with you and Lou.
There you go. That works for me.
Can you imagine if I crashed
now,
your friend's
stuff that our listeners want to hear about because they don't really care about Tim and I having a beer somewhere probably, but you know, we do, but Tim, they don't. We got the updates for the network. I mean, well, actually, it's the first time the three of us have been together in like, what, 2 months?
You guys, the band is back together.
We were together like a month ago for one episode, and then it was weeks before that we weren't, and it was, yeah, it's been crazy.
Yeah, it's been a real weird stretch, so it's good to have the band back together, as Lizzie just said.
Yeah, I love it.
It Yay. Is. It's awesome.
Do we have any other network updates we should clue everybody in on, besides the three of us are back together?
We do.
Yeah, we do.
What do we got?
It's a little sad.
We'd play, get the trumpets out, play taps.
Are we firing somebody?
We probably should. No, no, we're not firing anyone.
Okay.
All right, folks, look, here's the thing. Around about a year ago, you may recall that Liz and I and Jonas.
Yes.
Started Movie Rampage. And then Jonas dropped out because of some scheduling things. So it was Lizzie and I. And we have not been the best with scheduling on it, just because as time has gone on, Liz and I have taken on more and more things, particularly here with the network. I mean, I am on 4 shows. 2 of those are with Liz. Liz is on 3 shows, right, Lizzie?
Yep.
And then we once in a while do some things with other networks. And then, you know, of course, there's like other life stuff because we don't just podcast. Like, we don't make money doing this.
Surprisingly, we don't live here online.
We don't. Look, Lou has refused to pay us.
I have.
So we also
we keep
have
asking.
To work.
I offered to triple your salaries, but.
Well, you did do that. It didn't really make a dent in the bills. You know what I mean?
True. True.
No.
Yeah,
really,
but so I think we really were like, it really sort of filled a need at the beginning when we didn't have a lot of shows on the network, and we were very excited to sort of provide something new and different.
Yeah.
Now we sort of, because we're on so many other shows, we really do talk about movies on a lot of those other shows. Like, we talk about movies here. I talk about movies with the girls on Fangirl Confessional. We deal with all the Marvel stuff on Guardians. So I think we're really, you talk about Star Wars on Echo Base. So I think we're really filling that void with so many other things. And we have so many new hosts and new shows. At the time we didn't, and we wanted to provide something new. And now you have plenty of new things and not enough time to catch up in the day. So we're going to take something off your plate, guys. We're doing you a favor, something less to listen to.
Wow.
good spin on that, Lizzie. Good spin.
You know, I
that
try.
Was a good spin.
I'm a spin doctor. Yeah. I'm a spin doctor, you know.
So, but, officially, Movie Rampage is not like completely going away. We're going to mothball it.
Okay.
As they say. So it's kind of, it's there, but it's not going to be necessarily in use. It may come back sometime in the future under the same name, the same format, maybe a different name, maybe a different format. Same host, different host, who knows? But it's, you know, we're just for the time being, we're not going to do it anymore. Liz and I realized that it just kind of became like an afterthought for us in terms of scheduling. And we, with almost every movie we covered, just as Liz said, we had that discussion of, oh, well, gee, we talked about, you know, we're going to talk about Solo on a Star Wars show, or we're going to talk about this movie on this other show, or whatever. So it kind of got, while we feel it's okay to have some overlap on shows across the network, we don't want to be covering stuff to that extent and having that much. We don't want to be competing with other shows on the network. So
I think we really realized it with Infinity War. Like, that's sort of what blew it up for us, is that we were talking about it across so many different shows. And we were like, do we even need a Rampage episode about this? We've really talked so much about our feelings on it. But yeah, so it is going in the closet on a top shelf, you know, in a really nice box, like one of those photo boxes.
Is that only the shorter staff members can't reach it? Is that why we're doing that?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Yeah, only tall people only. Okay. So, of which I am.
Yeah, I am too. So, I can get to the box.
Yeah, you're allowed. You're allowed. So yeah, we're really proud of what we did. We're excited to have offered those episodes, especially in a gap in the network when it was needed. But yeah, it's the right time to sort of pop it back up on the shelf over there, and until somebody else takes it off or we decide to. So
yeah,
it's always the option is always open. And if you guys like overwhelmingly are like, no, not movie Rampage, then maybe we'll need to like rethink it. But right now, like if you just flood us with letters, maybe we'll rethink it. But
And we want to be able to focus our time and energy on the other things that we're doing, so we can do all those things well.
Yes.
Instead of having this thing that's just always kind of a, oh shoot, we have to do that. And it takes, you know, all these shows, they take time to plan, they take time to produce, the post-production takes time. So it's just it just becomes one of those things. So
we were kind of getting into a cycle of like, oh crap, it's like the month is almost up, what should we do? And we didn't feel like we were doing it a service to listeners and in order to provide them with like content on a regular basis.
Yep, exactly. So, we definitely appreciate everyone listening. We know that we had like at least two or three listeners out there. And it really was a good time. And we are going to continue talking about movies, just doing it on different shows and in slightly different formats. So Liz and I do plan on recording a kind of a brief little goodbye episode, so that will hit the Movie Rampage feed, just in the event that we have folks on the Movie Rampage feed who aren't actually on this feed. So
right,
it's our podcast series finale.
Yes.
Or cliffhanger.
Yes.
Well, will we or won't we ever return? What will happen to Tim and Lizzy?
Hate it when shows do cliffhangers. Oh man, especially if they get picked up for another season.
I was just going to say, and then we don't get renewed for the next season, so no one will ever find out.
Well, if we're on Fox, we'll probably get canceled. So definitely don't. I digress.
Oh, well. Okay, well, I'm glad to hear you guys had fun doing it. I'm glad to hear you're not totally just killing it off and never coming back to it, but we shall see.
It has not been murdered.
Well, speaking of what you've been watching, let's go over what we've seen the last couple weeks here. So, Lizzie, why don't we start with you?
Oh, my gosh, you guys. I have so much to talk about.
Oh, God, here we go.
Here it comes.
Probably more of those rom-coms on...
No, Lou. Number one, I finally finished Jessica Jones season two.
Okay,
which
excellent. Cool.
Was amazing. I knew it would be amazing. Very, very good show. Love season two. Couple slower parts that I wasn't expecting, but I was still engaged in it. Really good. Really, really good. Which then led me into, because I wanted to watch it before I started Luke Cage season two. Mm-hmm. I don't like to skip ahead or miss something. So I definitely wanted to finish Jessica Jones before going to Luke Cage. And so I'm only like in the first episode of Luke Cage because I got distracted by
not you.
Glow season two. The gorgeous ladies of wrestling are back. Oh. No, this show, I told you about the show. This show is so fun and it's such good writing. I know you're shaking your heads, but you guys are wrong.
No, we're not shaking our heads, really.
Yeah, you are shaking your head. I saw you.
Oh, was my
Tim
video
has
on?
His hand on his forehead. Damn. Like an old man. Get it off, Tim. Glow season one like blew me away. I had no idea what to expect. I've never watched the actual like Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling. That was an actual television show in the 80s. Or a thing in the 80s. So I'm not a big wrestling fan, but this show, the actresses actually do a lot of their own stunts. They have learned how to wrestle in the style of like wrestling on television. And so they're all really physically, it's a physically demanding job. And Alison Brie is in it. She's phenomenal.
Okay, so really... wait a second. Now, this is a show about a show that was on during the 80s?
Yeah. So it's a show. Well, just... no. It's a show. It's a show representing it. It's, well, yeah, I guess it is that. It is. It's like the backstory and everything of when GLOW started. And so, I don't, it's so good. I don't know. I think you guys would actually like it as much as you're rolling your eyes. It's really, it's really, really funny. Smart writing, really great stunts and storylines as far as wrestling is concerned. And I don't even like wrestling, but they sort of frame it in the show because there's a soap opera actress that they pull into it. And she's like, what is this wrestling thing? And they sort of say, it's like a soap opera. There's storylines, but it's just, there's a physical, there is. It's like, have you ever watched wrestling? Are you guys wrestling fans?
I never got into wrestling when I was younger.
I was when I was a kid, like in the 80s. Yeah, WWF. You know, Hulk Hogan, Ultimate Warrior. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I never
watched... But then I, like, very quickly grew out of that.
I never watched any of that, and so I was never, like, I didn't ever get wrestling. I was like, it's not real. It doesn't make any sense. But watching it from through the perspective of this show and the way they sort of frame the technicality, there's, like, a stunt woman on it. And so her storyline is she's a stunt woman and a black stunt woman in Hollywood, and she's not really getting a lot of roles. And then what happens is they sort of become like a family of misfits. And obviously they play a lot on like racial tropes because they have a lot, like a very diverse cast, but they're cast diversely because of the racial tropes. Like there's an Asian person and there's like, Muslim person who plays a terrorist and like these, these like crazy racial tropes, but they're able to really like speak into that in a very interesting way. Anyways, I don't know. Season two is even better than season one. It's such a great show. I love the cast. I love watching them off screen. Alison Brie is hilarious in person. She's married to James Franco, which I did not know. It's kind of adorable, but it's a really, really fun show. And I love the 80s, so it definitely speaks to me. But I was at Disney all day Friday or half day Friday. And when I got home, I was like, what am I doing with my life? GLOW season two is on. And I literally watched all 10 episodes that night until midnight. And I just stayed up and watched them.
Wow.
Yeah. So season two just aired. Go back and watch season one, watch season two. Let me know what you think. It's just a really fun show, and I think a lot of people, it's not like one demographic. It really crosses a lot of lines because it's like a little grittier. That's not really, it's not like a sitcom-y sort of like fluffy show.
So if somebody did want to watch this, just, you know, go with me here for a minute. Where would you go to watch this?
Oh, it's on Netflix.
Okay.
Season one and two on Netflix.
I have some ideas where you'd go to watch it.
Tim, it is such a good show. I think you would really like it. And you know I don't recommend shows flippantly, so I think that has value.
All right. Maybe I'll give it a try. There's been
so many things she said recently in the past few weeks that have said, I know you'd like this. And I'm like, I don't know about that.
What else did I say that you wouldn't have liked? I didn't say it with the Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman.
When I hear that, I kind of put it in my mind sometimes, listening to, no, I'm not going to watch that.
There are, in all fairness to Liz, though, there are shows like some of the rom-com stuff that she watches that she will say, Tim and Lou, you guys would not like this.
Right.
Oh,
right.
So she's very honest about it.
I often / usually say if you're not going to like something, but things like Santa Clarita Diet, which I think you guys would like, and GLOW, I think you would. And I don't flippantly recommend to you two, by the way.
My wife and I started watching Santa Clarita Diet. It's pretty funny.
It's hilarious.
It really is. It's pretty funny.
I think that there's like, I think when you watch a trailer of it or just see like the promos, you would think one thing about it. It definitely like plays on that hair 80s like girl band vibe. But I think watching it has such a different, it's different than that. It's got, I don't know. It's really great. Anyways.
Okay.
I think people, it's a show that has a lot of like surprising relatability. Anyways, that's all I'll say. It's in caps in our show notes because I was so excited about
it. We shall see. Oh, it is. Yeah, it is in caps. Tim, what have you been up to watching wise?
A little bit more of World Cup. Kind of bummed when Germany couldn't pull things through, but I've watched a little bit more here and there.
Speaking of that, sorry to interrupt you. This morning on Today, they talked about the whole thing with Germany getting ousted. Mm-hmm. And they said, what was it? I think Mexico, the only chance Mexico had to move on to the next round was for South Korea to beat Germany.
Yes.
And it was like, never going to happen. And they did. Did you hear what happened in Mexico after that?
Oh, with the South Korean ambassador?
And, fans marched to the South Korean embassy with tequila.
Yeah.
And they had a party in the streets. The ambassador came out. They were doing shots. I was like, that is bringing the world together. That's pretty awesome.
It truly is. It truly is. I think that's really great.
Sorry to interrupt.
No. Finally got into the latest season of Ultron.
Okay, good.
Have been enjoying that quite a bit. Some interesting, they have like a couple of interesting little side journeys, but the main thread is actually really good, and you could kind of predict from the last season where this was going to go, at least loosely. But it's a good story.
Cool.
More BattleBots. I've mentioned before. I freaking love BattleBots. It kind of started as a guilty pleasure, but it's almost like professional wrestling. Except this actually does take a lot of talent, and I'm not dissing the physical prowess that the professional wrestlers have to have, even though it's all scripted and stuff. And you know, BattleBot stuff is not scripted, but it's like, all right, so we're just going to take two machines, put them into a ring, and just watch them beat the piss out of each other. And it's just a lot of fun. And some of these matches are overweight quicker than they should be. Sometimes it's like someone wins because another robot malfunctions, not even because of any damage. But then other times, like, there's just wreckage all over the place and robots are smoking, and it's wonderful.
It does look like fun. I've never actually watched an episode, but I have a question, Tim.
Yeah.
Has anybody ever used the term, we got a bad motivator over here? Has anybody ever blamed their loss on a bad motivator?
You know, I don't know. And they probably should.
Because if I had a bot, I'd definitely blame a bad motivator if I lost.
Oh, totally. Totally. and there are, there are some of these battle bots that definitely have gotten bad motivators. So, and Cloak and Dagger, which I've really been enjoying. Liz and I talked about it some on the latest episode of Guardians of the MCU, which just got put up today.
Nice.
It's been a great series. I think now I'm maybe an episode or two behind, but it's been really good.
I think I'm halfway through the current episode right now. I'm actually really enjoying the show.
Yeah.
And I got ticked off because my DVR didn't record episode 3 or didn't have it or it lost it or something. And I'm like, started watching episode 4 and I'm like, I don't remember that from the, you know, what happened in the last episode. So I didn't watch it for episode, so I'll go back and find it somewhere else. And I found it yesterday to watch it before my, I remember the beginning of this. I must get interrupted and maybe my DVR deleted it because I didn't see the second half of the episode the first time.
Oh, okay.
And I'm like, a lot of new stuff happens. I'm really enjoying this. It's gotten a lot better in episodes, you know, 3 and 4 than 1 and 2 were. And I liked 1 and 2, but 3 and 4 were a lot better. More intrigue, more storyline going on. I'm really enjoying it.
Yeah. I'm impressed with how gritty it is for being on Freeform.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not anything hardcore, but they have some really good storylines. It's not effects heavy, but with the two characters and their powers, it doesn't have to be.
Mm-hmm.
And you're kind of getting a good, like, origin story with them. It builds it really nicely.
Yeah, it's still going on in the first few episodes, you know, first 5 episodes, you're still learning who these guys are. Mm-hmm. And I know nothing about them from the comics, so I've been really intent on just watching and learning and seeing where it's going.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, as for me, besides Cloak and Dagger, I've been rewatching the old Clone Wars episodes. Mm-hmm. I've been working down in my basement doing stuff. I wanted something on in the background, so I've been looking at the old Clone Wars shows. And, find a new appreciation for him as a second viewing through. So
nice.
That's good. Let's see here. Let's get into the box office update for last weekend, the weekend that's killing me in our movie draft.
But, it's all over, Lou.
Yeah, I know.
You're no longer in the lead.
Let's see. Number one this week, of course, in its second week is Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom. It made $60 million in its second weekend. It's a total of $264 million. I don't think it's quite doing as well as they'd like it to. I think they expected a lot more after what the first one did. But
I think the first one was such a surprise to them, and that's always tough to capitalize on a sequel to a sequel to a sequel to a sequel.
I agree 100%, yeah.
Yeah.
I think if it hadn't have blown everyone away so much, this is not a bad take for a fifth franchise and movie.
The last one really, I think, came out of nowhere because I knew it was coming. Right. I was like, okay, whatever. It's another Jurassic Park movie. Yeah, okay. But it, you know, stormed the box office and ruled the world for a while.
Yeah.
This one is just doing really, really well and not doing amazing. So
I really liked it. I went and saw it. I really liked it.
You know, certainly Chris Pratt is still doing well, but when the first one came out, it was like he had that and he had Guardians. And so, you know, people were very high on Chris Pratt at the time. So I think that also helped to boost the box office some.
And well, he was a bit new and shiny then and now he's been around for a while.
Yeah. And we
hadn't had... So he still has draw, but...
Yeah, and we hadn't had a Jurassic Park film in a little bit, so yeah, I think it was a big thing. I mean, still, this is doing well. Basically $265 million in 2 weeks is obviously really good for a movie. But it had expected more. I mean, compare this to the number two in the box office take this weekend, which is Incredibles 2, which in its third week is now up at $440 million. So, you know, I think that's where Jurassic World would have liked to have been.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think it's obviously going to continue doing well. It'll probably settle in the high 300s.
Yeah, probably. I mean, I'd probably say just over three. It'd be like, you know, 350 max, I would say, probably.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll see. I mean, nothing to sneeze at. I'm sure it made its money back, and I'm sure they'll make more money on the back end when they start doing video releases and stuff. So.
Oh, yeah.
Did you guys see it?
No.
Oh, okay. No. Well, I can't. There's, for anyone who's seen it and knows the part about the brontosaurus, tears in my eyes. Like, so just, okay. Like, that was the feeling. I was just, when you go watch it, you'll know, and let me know what you think. Not a spoiler. Just watch that part with the brontosaurus, and I dare you not to cry, okay?
So Liz killed the brontosaurus.
I didn't kill a brontosaurus. You don't know anything about it, Tim. You haven't seen it. Can't say anything. You don't even know.
I mean, like the Flintstones, they had brontosaurus burgers.
But yeah. Oh, no.
And those ribs, those really the giant ribs. Yeah.
The one that knocks the car over? Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Good times.
Making Lizzie cry.
When you watch it, you'll know.
In third place this week, in its first week, is Sicario: Day of the Soldado. $19 million in its first week. I think that's kind of expected. And nobody thought it was going to do, you know, great gobs box office wise. But number three first week is kind of tough to swallow for a movie that was getting a lot of you know, press and.
Was it?
Well, I mean, it was getting a lot of commercial time and so forth. They were really, the last couple of weeks, I've seen them do a lot. Yeah, that's right. You don't do TV. I'm sorry.
Yeah, quite a bit in the last couple weeks.
No. And Uncle Drew, which I didn't even know was coming out this week, which I thought looked really funny from the ads, finished number four, $15.5 million. And Ocean's 8 is hanging on. Sorry, him.
Well, and you know, Uncle Drew, I only ever saw the trailers in the theater. I never saw any on TV.
I saw a few on TV, not a lot.
Did you? Yep. And I still think that Uncle Drew beat expectations by a bit. I think people were thinking like around $13 million or so. So I think it did a little bit better than what was expected.
Well, it's also had a bunch of tie-ins. I think they came out way too late. There was a bunch of like fast food tie-ins and drink tie-ins.
Oh.
I saw this past weekend. I'm like... Okay, it just came out, but why are these tie-ins coming out now? You should have been doing this, you know, a month ago.
Yeah.
To get people, you know, aware of your brand and built up the expectation for it, but.
Yep.
Yeah. And, of course, running out the top five is Ocean's 8 with another $8 million, bringing its total to 114. I don't know how that 114 ranks with the other Ocean's movies, but I don't know.
It's still hanging in there. And Solo, by the way, is sixth place. gets an honorable mention. Yeah, it's still hanging in there. It's at sixth place. I know it's starting to phase out of theaters. So if you wanted to catch Solo once more in the theater, you better do it quick.
Yep. What's its total up to?
I don't recall.
Okay. Let's see. This week we have the first Purge coming out just in time for 4th of July. This is the fourth Purge movie, is it, Tim?
Third,
okay.
Yep. I like the Purge movies. I think it's a fun
I know you've said that. I haven't seen any of them, and I'm thinking about watching them. I know they're on Netflix, so I may have to.
We even have more Purge news later on in this show.
We do. We'll get to that in a little bit. But
all Purge all the time.
Oh, no, Tim. No.
Hi, Lizzie. But what about a Purge in real life? How about that? Because I feel like I could make use of some Purge time. I just feel like I could do some real some work. For the people is what I'm saying. Okay.
You are not invited to Connecticut. Anymore.
I've told you that I feel like I would be very good at being assassin, and I wanted to be in the mafia. This is not news to you.
That's true. This is not news. This is not news.
If anything
folks.
Bad happens to either one of us, Tim, we can make sure the authorities get this episode.
That's right.
So we can see what's going on.
No. I'm very good at
hiding. Later this month,
hiding.
We have some pretty big movies coming out. We have Ant-Man and the Wasp in July.
Yay!
Hotel Transylvania 3.
Yay!
Which everybody should go see a lot because I own that in a movie draft. Skyscraper.
I'm excited about Skyscraper. No.
Absolutely
yep, that,
not.
That looks like fun. The Rock. Looks like a good mindless idea for the movies.
Yep.
Mamma Mia 2.
Yay!
Which I will probably go see because my wife really likes Ava. So
I love Mamma Mia.
Mission Impossible Fallout and Teen Titans Go.
And Equalizer 2.
Equalizer 2, sorry.
I'm excited about Teen Titans Go. I think that looks fun.
I think it will do well. I'm probably not going to see it in the theater, but...
Not a lot of kit other than Incredibles. This is the other... Oh, never mind. Mm-hmm. Hotel Transylvania 3, forget it.
Yeah. I think Hotel Transylvania is going to be the kids' movie for the month, but...
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah.
Oh, Tim and I are big fans of Hotel Transylvania. Tim, who recommended Hotel Transylvania to you?
That would be Elizabeth.
That's right, I did. Because I have very good taste in movies and television, and you can just... You know.
I'll tell you, I really enjoyed it. We talked about this, so this goes to Movie Rampage, which now it makes me sad. and we did a big Halloween episode for Movie Rampage where we covered a bunch of Halloween movies. And Liz was really talking up Hotel Transylvania. And because it was the season, I was able to find it on TV pretty quickly. Watched it, loved it. Watched the second one. Really liked the second one. The first one was still better. But just really, really fun movies. Really well done. My wife loved them. Good times. Yeah.
Cool.
Thank you, Lizzie.
Yes.
I mean, I love animated kids movies. For some reason, the Hotel Transylvania movies just never kind of got on my radar, so I haven't seen any of them.
Well, you're
but
wrong.
But if Lizzie likes them and Tim likes them, I may have to watch them.
They're just like so well done, Lou. I think you would like these.
You still have to watch frickin' Lion King first, Lou.
Shh.
Oh my gosh! I thought we already cleared that one up, Lou.
Oh no!
Tim, why'd you bring that up? Tim, you're killing me here.
I even watched Beetlejuice for you, sir.
Indeed.
Yeah, you better fix it. You better.
moving right along. I will fix it.
You just see the shame on Lou's face, folks.
I will fix it. My head's turning red.
Shame bell. Shame.
I'm blushing. I'm all blushing.
Speaking of shame for Lou, let's talk about the movie draft.
No, it's not. Let's just move right along. We're getting long in the thing here. We should get right into our news items.
We should talk about the movie draft for a minute.
Okay, Tim, why don't you talk about the movie draft?
Make it fast, you.
So for the longest time, Lou was in first place. We're talking our spring movie draft here.
Sprinting out to an early lead.
Yeah, and then like other movies came out. Things like Jurassic World and such. And Lou has now slipped into second place. Andrea, as I predicted... back in the movie draft, took over first place. So I think I get points for predicting the win or the impending win.
The only reason why she's beating me is because of A Quiet Place. If it wasn't for that gosh darn movie, that beat all expectations by like, you know, orders of magnitude.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Did insanely well.
She would not be beating me.
John also, who was like in last place through the whole thing, is now suddenly in third place because Incredible 2, like suddenly, bam, hit the cap.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, so, I don't think we knew Incredibles 2 would do really well. I don't think any of us knew it would do that well that fast.
Oh, yeah, yeah, exactly. So, yeah, Incredibles 2 hit that $400 million cap within, you know, 2.5 weeks. So John hit third place. He's not going to go anywhere past that because of the cap, but he ended up doing really well. And our summer movie draft just went up. It just got released.
That's right. So yep.
Be sure to go to randomchatter.com/moviedraft or just go to randomchatter.com and you'll see movie draft as a tab up on top of the page. Hit that. You'll see the spring results and you'll also see the summer draft information. And as always, we have the opportunity for the audience participation. So be sure to take a look at that. Get your picks in. We did extend it because of getting this out a little bit late. We are kind of offering up the first week here of July as kind of a freebie. So make sure to get your picks in for that. The instructions on, you know, where you have to email your picks and everything and how to play is right in the site itself. So get them in.
Nice. Yeah, please do. It's always fun to see how the audience takes a liking to certain people's picks.
And make sure to listen to that episode. I mean, it was another ridiculous dumpster fire, as they all are, but it's a good time. And I wasn't even drinking, but I was really tired because I hadn't slept in like 2 days.
Yeah, and Tim, at least you didn't get no job this time, so.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Tim will get down in the lore of movie draft as... pulling in that job is we use that term frequently now. Oh, let's see. Fantasy Movie League. I did dismal this weekend. I got my picks in early. I thought I did a good job. I picked everything out, and I'm in 17th place.
I'm in second.
I know. It's killing me. I'm like,
I'm pretty Jesus. Happy with it. Kudos to Erasure, who like is killing it this week. I don't know where he came up with these things, but he picked some really, really great movies and did really well with it. So,
yeah, he's like a good 2 million ahead of you this week, which is, you know, in that weekly stuff from Fantasy Movie League, 2 or 3 million is a huge jump.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. Kudos to him because I didn't see that one coming. Anyway, okay, let's go on to our discussions this week now that we're a half hour in. Or 40 minutes in.
yeah, always happens.
It does. It does happen that way. But anyways, Lizzie, have you been over the show notes? Is there anything burning on this list that you really want to talk about first?
Let's see. I have been over them, but I don't know that anything was like dire for me. I thought the Disney Universe, I'm not Disney, DC Universe announcement of it, of like a beta in August.
Yeah. Seemed that was a little weird.
So soon. Like, I mean,
but it's also a lot different than I thought it was going to be too. So, So DC has announced they're doing a streaming service that will be for not just TV shows and movies, but comic books.
Yeah. Which is smart, I think.
Yeah, it is. But it just seems like it's a weird, you know, another thing from DC. That's strange, I guess. Right.
Add it to the list, right?
We're kind of used to that. Yeah. So DC announces that they're going to be doing arrival of the DC Universe, a new fan oriented platform where many of the company's upcoming shows like Young Justice, Outsiders, Titans and Harley Quinn will live alongside, you know, their catalog of other stuff, including comic books, TV shows and films. Now, it's a little bit strange to me. They didn't really say what TV shows and films would be included.
Yeah, that's not a lot of specifics. Feel like it's very DC, I think. But to say like not a lot of specifics with the beta coming out in August is like, I hope someone knows the specifics, but like, I don't know.
That also makes me wonder too. It's like, you know, you can see a beta for a video game, you know, a beta for software. You know, you want to work out the kinks. You want to make sure that, ooh, we found this bug. Let's fix that. What kind of bugs are they looking for in a streaming service? oh, we forgot to include this series of TV shows. I mean, does that make sense to you?
Well, no, especially because the model already exists, and it exists really well in Netflix, right. Hulu, Amazon Prime. It's not like this is... I feel like when Netflix first came out and started streaming, yeah, you had to do a couple of test runs and see, like, where's it glitching, what's working. The obvious first iteration was sending DVDs, and who is still... Actually, my parents still get DVDs. they're on both Netflix, the streaming and DVD plan. But, like... That makes sense to need bugs and kinks worked out. But this is like, we're far in the streaming game at this point. So to say like a beta run in August seems strange to me. But
yeah, I mean, I guess you're calling it a soft launch.
Well, they're also trying something different with this comic book video game, like integration of across media platforms, mm-hmm. really. So I guess I can sort of understand that, but it does seem strange that they're already like August is really soon, and it just the information that's out there is like, it's just sort of vague, and it's not, I just hope someone knows what the specifics are for August.
Yeah, I mean, I'm thinking maybe the beta portion of this or the beta terminology is because they're doing comic books alongside TV and movies.
Yeah.
But it just seems a little bit strange, and, you know, I don't know. I mean, I hope it works for them. I hope it does really well. It's going to give us access to a lot of the old back stuff from DC, which I guess is intriguing, but I'm wondering, you know, some of the newer stuff on TV that's on, you know, like the Green Arrow universe and so forth. I mean, I don't know if that's going to be part of this. I doubt it because it's fairly new and it's on somebody else's network.
Yeah. Well, CW has a streaming platform that you can stream those shows on. So I think part of the problem with DC is that a lot of their properties are spread across different studios and networks and stuff like that. So nothing, it's not like the MCU where it's all sort of under one umbrella. And even Marvel has that, as we've discussed with X-Men and everything. So it's not, I don't know. I don't know what it'll be like.
Now, Tim, are you going to subscribe to this new DC streaming service?
Oh, I've already signed up.
Have you?
No.
You're funny.
No.
Ladies and gentlemen, Tim is drinking tonight, just letting you know.
Yeah. I think what's happening is Tim looked at the show notes, and this is so far down, he thinks that he lost time because we're already
like... I actually did. I thought I got caught in like some weird kind of wormhole or something when I stepped out of my office and came back.
No, we just had this jump around for a few minutes. We just pick and choose where we're going
to
go.
I'm not going to subscribe to it just because, I mean, DC is not that big of a thing for me, but I really do. I like a lot of the stuff they've put out. I really do like Batman. You know, the Batman animated series that was out before was really great. A lot of the movies are really good. Mm-hmm. There is good DC content out there, and I know we're sometimes harsh on them.
Oh, there is.
But I mean, it's not unwarranted. I mean, it's like they just shotgun approach everything. Or what did we talk about? Baloney. Baloney was what we talked about last episode, right, Lou? The baloney approach of DC.
Think so. Yep.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep.
So we're not going to go back into that analogy.
It's funny how even in the article they're saying that, you know, they're going to be banking on some nostalgia for classics like Batman the Animated Series, the remastered cuts of Lynda Carter's Wonder Woman, mm-hmm. and all the Chris Reeve Superman films. Now, that's not really a big selling point for me, some of the old Superman movies. I mean, just ask the guys that just did the Cape Chronicles shows. It's like, wow, you're really digging if you're going back for some of the old, because, you know, the first one was good, but they got kind of pretty weird after that. So yeah. I don't know.
But I guess if you're having a DC streaming platform, you'd want to have the, like, across the gambit with characters you've and what have they done? Them, right. They've done a lot of these older things. Like, does that mean Batman and Batman Returns are going to be on there? Cause they're currently on Netflix. So like, you know, there's a lot, question mark in the midst of that. Like, what does this really mean? But right. I guess we'll find out in August.
And especially if I'm paying for one service, I'm going to pay another for service to have the same content.
Well, that's sort of what we've been talking about all along with this content streaming thing and everybody coming out with their own thing. Like, it's hard choices in the midst of that. Like, are we going to get everything?
Right. I mean, if all these networks start, you know, limiting access from Netflix and Hulu for all this other stuff, then maybe you have to subscribe to all these individual streaming services, but...
And then that's going to tick me off because then it's, I mean, do we end up in a better place than we were before when you now have a whole bunch of different things you have to subscribe to get the content that you want?
I think eventually you'll look into bundling, like internet bundling packages like that, and you'll get, I wonder, because the future is streaming, obviously. We've seen that. It's not going anywhere. It's going to continue unless, an electromagnetic pulse goes off, and then we really can't watch anything on streaming, which...
And I could see...
Or the purge happens and we'll be busy.
Oh, yeah. I could see the bundling thing happening from like the big parent studios. So like Disney.
Right.
We'll say, okay, hey, we have our Disney streaming service. We have a Lucasfilm thing. We have a Marvel thing. We have whatever else and whatever else and whatever else. And you can get each of those for $2.99 a month. But if you want to pay $9.99 a month, we'll give them all to you.
Right.
Yeah. Well, they'll bundle by making one for everything.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
I think it'll start to look the way that networks and cable look, in that you sort of have like, I don't know, just a different, like a broader network and way that things will be done. I don't even know what that'll look like because this is new territory.
Mm-hmm. Even as the existing streaming services that we have today are changing. I mean,
right.
I now don't pay for Netflix because I have it as part of my Comcast agreement.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So, like that kind of thing. It's like,
okay, so where does that leave Netflix? Where's their revenue stream going to? I mean, are they getting the same money from Comcast because I signed up for that they would have got from me? I don't know.
No.
Right. I guess we'll.
They get probably $2 per subscriber from Comcast.
Right. But how is that? Is that benefiting them? I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see. Watchmen HBO TV series. It's something I'm looking forward to immensely.
Yeah.
Yeah. 100%. I think this has a lot of potential. I think this could be really good.
Love me some Watchmen.
I mean, just from the players involved, and we have Damon Lindelof of Lost fame, who is working on this, which gives me a lot of faith. I mean, this to me sounds really awesome when you have something like that involved.
Mm-hmm.
This sounds like the perfect thing for him to be involved in.
Yeah.
That makes me so happy.
Jeremy Irons just signed on to it.
Yeah. That's a huge name.
I love Jeremy Irons.
He's great.
His great voice is just freaking awesome.
Oh, it's like butter. Oh, it's wonderful.
You can play anything, too. He's played all kinds of different roles. I mean,
yeah.
The first thing I saw him in was Dead Ringers, and creepy movie, but wow. You know, it's like he played a great dual role in that movie, actually.
Yep.
So this is going to be they've actually greenlit, a pilot for HBO? It's not really a series yet, right? They've greenlit a pilot for HBO.
Yes, I think right now all the news is solely around a pilot.
Yep. So I'm hoping it just goes, yes, we'll take, two seasons or three seasons or four seasons. But
and this is not connected with the Zack Snyder series that was discussed a few years ago for Watchmen. And this is not associated either with the movie that was out a number of years ago. It's kind of it's essentially a series reboot of sorts. It's kind of doing its own thing.
Yeah, the speculation is, I guess, that it's a modern day version of the characters, so it's not set in the 80s like the movie was or the series was, but it is a updated version. So presumably some new characters, some different characters that have moved on won't be involved, or at least not until flashbacks and so forth. Mm-hmm. But there's very little news about this, but I am so excited.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. This is one of those things I'm very glad that I have HBO, and I'm really looking forward to seeing this when it comes out.
HBO is one of those networks I'm not going to get rid of.
Yeah.
Just because they have so much good original content that I need to stay around. Now, Tim, you had sent me a share thing on Instagram for this the other day that they are penning in a date for the sequel to Jumanji. December 13th, 2019.
Yeah.
I still have to see the first one.
Oh my gosh, it's so good.
I know, it looks awesome. I didn't ever see it in the theater.
It's so fun. You mean the second one, by the way.
What?
Yes. Well, yeah.
Okay. The first one in this. Yeah. No, I saw the original way back when. Yeah.
All right. Just checking. We don't forget Robin Williams ever.
That's no, right. We don't. If I look at this as a totally different movie than if I look at it as a sequel. This was a new version of it. I guess I'd
say. It's still in the world, and it's not the same character. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although what's interesting about this is that this is Jumanji Welcome to the Jungle 2, essentially. So this is a sequel to the previous movie. Dwayne Johnson, The Rock, and Kevin Hart have been confirmed for this.
Okay.
So the game characters of Jumanji are going to remain the same, at least as far as those two are concerned. Both Jack Black and Karen Gillan are expected to also be part of this. We haven't, as far as I've seen, there's been nothing that's confirmed them, but they would be fools not to. I mean, this was a, you know, really like a crazy moneymaker. So yeah, they'd be crazy not to be part of it. Yeah,
they'll sign on.
Yeah,
that is interesting that their avatars in the game have signed on, because as far as the storyline in the movie, that would be surprising given what happens in the film. I don't want to spoil it for Lou.
Yeah, because
you're going to watch it like Lion King, okay? Okay?
No, all right. What you should actually watch this, Lou.
This is a verbal contract.
I'll watch both of them. I will watch both of them.
This is a verbal contract.
Okay, I'll sign my name.
I have watched Beetlejuice, and therefore,
this is a verbal I get to contract. Have you.
I Lou Secchi, raise my right hand, and will swear to God that I will watch Jumanji.
That's Welcome right, you Jungle. Will. Upon pain of purge. I will find you.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Nice.
I'm coming to Connecticut, by the way.
We recently had the Saturn Awards. The only thing I saw in this was that Clone Wars. Rebels took home some hardware at this one. Yeah, sorry. I've been watching Clone Wars, what was on my mind.
There's some really great winners in this. So the Saturns, for folks who aren't aware, cover like sci-fi and horror and fantasy. And obviously, there have been some great movies in the past year. Black Panther won the best comic to motion picture release. Blade Runner 2049 got the best science fiction film release. Get Out got the best horror release. Greatest Showman got the best action adventure film release. By the way, that I need to add that to my what have I been watching, because I did just recently watch Greatest Showman, and it really was very good.
Okay.
So good.
Best actor in a film, Mark Hamill for Last Jedi. Best actress, Gal Gadot for Wonder Woman.
Nice.
Best supporting actor, Patrick Stewart in Logan. Danai Gurira in Black Panther for supporting actress. Younger actor, Tom Holland for Spider-Man. Ryan Coogler for best director. Ryan Johnson for screenplay. I mean, a lot of folks who we know, and we know their work from the stuff that we're fans of with this show, and all the stuff that we watch here. And they also do television too. So like best superhero television series, The Flash won, The Orville won for best science fiction TV series, which I am just thrilled about because I absolutely love that show.
That's good to know. Yeah. Yeah.
Walking Dead won for best horror TV series.
Sinequa, Better Call Saul won for best action.
Yep.
TV thriller. Yep.
Sonequa Martin Green won best actress in a TV series for Star Trek Discovery.
Okay.
And she's also, I mean, she was a really great part in Walking Dead. So a lot of Walking Dead watchers know her from that. Chandler Riggs also won, speaking of Walking Dead, for performance of a younger actor.
As you mentioned, Star Wars Rebels took home Best Animated TV Series on Television. Best New Media Television Series was Star Trek Discovery.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that is something that's not on broadcast television.
True.
Because I'm looking at what else was in here. Was Stranger Things, Altered Carbon, Black Mirror, Handmaiden's Tales were all the things it was up against.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Best new media superhero series, Marvel's The Punisher. Yeah, no, some good stuff in here.
Yeah.
Oh, American Gods won for best DVD, Blu-ray, television series release.
Yeah. Hmm. So really cool stuff. Cool. Congrats to all the winners and the runners up in that, because it's there's obviously a really great list.
It's an honor just to be nominated, right?
It truly is. I mean, there's the competition in this for the last year was really incredible. So,
And these are the kind of things I pay attention to, because then it gives you just what you want to watch coming up too.
Yeah.
You know, much more so than the Academy Awards or, you know, the Golden Globes or anything. Because mm-hmm. this is more our wheelhouse. Let's see. Halo series coming to Showtime. Finally. Has this been talked about forever?
It has. I think this is like the second discussion of it, because I think they were going to do one before and then it dropped and then they're picking this up again.
Now, you know, I was never an Xbox player, so I never played Halo. It looked awesome.
It's such a great game.
And I always wanted to, but I know nothing about the story behind it. Mm-hmm. So is this picking up the story that the video game had, or going in its own different direction?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
Halo was the only game I've really ever gamed.
Okay.
The only game.
So we have somebody who can give us some content then, yes.
For me to be a gamer. In college, my roommates, Crystal and Becca and I, we would spend so many hours on the freaking Xbox, like playing and like strategizing. And then we would go like play with this group and it was like all guys and like just a couple girls. And we strategized so hard to like keep up and like kill them.
Nice. I like it.
Oh, so many hours spent. We each had our own like colored controller. Mm-hmm. Like it was a whole thing, and we would just spend so many hours trying to like. We each had our own weapon of choice and our own places that we would go, and we would just strategize so much. And this is like the only time in my life that I was ever like a gamer, because I don't have a console myself. Sure. We had one together as roommates, but yep. Like. So Halo holds a special place in my heart because of that. So okay. I really loved the storyline of the game too, you know, the Oracle and all those kinds of things. But like, I would be totally in for a television show. Halo's like my jam.
Well, you're going to get it, because they pick up 10 episodes.
Into it.
Production is going to start in early 2019.
Nice.
No word on when it's going to start airing, but... It says, Halo's our most ambitious series ever. We expect audiences who have been anticipating for years will be thoroughly rewarded.
I think there's a lot of potential for it. The game obviously has created an incredible world and backstory for it. And so I think we're really looking at something that has a lot of potential to be like a jacked up, the name of it just left me. What's the movie Johnny Rico?
Starship Troopers.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh.
So very much like a Starship Troopers type of thing, where it's humans against aliens, and you almost have some kind of similar technologies that you see in Starship Troopers, but this is, and you know, Starship Troopers does not take itself seriously at all. I think this series probably will take itself a little bit more seriously, but you just have this great opportunity to see like this futuristic military versus buggy alien kind of thing going on. And I think it'll be a lot of fun. Did you guys see when they were doing the big promotion for Halo 4, we're talking two summers ago, maybe three summers ago. They did a series of live action bits on YouTube. Called Unto Dawn.
No.
Look,
I mean, primarily because I'm not a Halo player and don't have an Xbox, I don't tend to watch that kind of stuff, but
look them up on YouTube. They are fantastic. If that's any indication of what this series on Showtime is going to look like. And basically Unto Dawn was simply done as a promotion for Halo 4. And I think it was maybe four or five parts. I think I could be wrong. It's been, like I said, it's been okay. 2 or 3 years since I've seen it. The production quality on it was fantastic. The storyline on it was great. And it really, for being a video game adaptation, it immersed you into that world. and obviously got you really hyped to go out and get Halo 4, which is exactly what they wanted.
Yeah, it's what they want to do, yeah.
Now, you know, traditionally a lot of video game adaptations fall flat on their faces, particularly in the movie environment, you know, on the big screen. I'm hoping that a smaller screen thing with a series, and they really already kind of have something to work off of, I'm hoping that it's going to do well.
Well, I don't think they're going to fall into the same traps that the movies fall into. When you get like a movie adaptation of like Doom or something like that, it's not taken seriously sometimes. Yeah. You know, it's like they look at it, it's like, oh, it's a video game. And, you know, whether it was Doom or Wing Commander or any of those movies that have just failed horribly, I think they just don't take them seriously enough. Whereas a TV show, they want to keep this going. It's not just a one-off, you're going to do it and then never do anything again. Mm-hmm. They want to keep this going. So I think they take them more seriously. And I'm hoping that's why they take Halo.
Yeah.
Okay. I think just the way that video games have storylines in their game. I mean, it's funny mm-hmm. that sometimes these mm-hmm. really don't work because people love the storylines that games give or hate right. them either way. But video games are ripe for story. And so I don't know why some of them don't work or why it's tough to adapt, but they're ripe for this kind of medium. So.
That's a really good point, Lizzie, because I hate it when a game doesn't have a good storyline to it.
Right.
Single, yeah. I'd rather have a single player story mode game that I can play through and know what's going on and affect the outcome as opposed to just a, you know, online shoot 'em up game.
Yeah.
I mean, when
the story is not compelling, it's like, I feel cheated.
Right. When games come out, and as somebody who is only a gamer at my Halo stage, whenever I hear about video games, the things I hear about the graphics and the story, like that's what you hear about. So for the story to play such a high role in people's decisions about loving or hating the game, why wouldn't that translate onto any another medium where you're just... I think it's tough because with video games, you are that person. And so whatever mm-hmm. expectations you have, you can sort of tailor it to your own journey through the game. And where when you get a video, a movie or a TV show, I don't know if there's a lot of video game TV shows, but a movie or a TV show, you're beholden to the writer's vision and direction. So maybe that's a tough place for fans of games because it's not like a choose your own adventure. But
mm-hmm. yeah,
I mean, story's key. So I don't know why some of them really don't work. They should.
Absolutely right. Well, Ms. Disney, we're going to stick with you now for a second.
Hello, nice to meet you. Because you are
a resident Disney person. Have you seen the trailer for Disney's Nutcracker in the Four Realms?
Yes, I have, and I'm very excited about it.
I saw this before Incredibles, maybe? It was really good. I knew nothing about the thing coming out. I was like, wow. This looks like a pretty compelling story.
I saw it when they released the trailer. Saw it because I follow all the Disney accounts on Twitter and Instagram. So when anything comes out, I watch it. Love the looks like a beautiful vision for it. Love Keira Knightley. So glad to see her on the big screen.
It's visually beautiful. I think mm-hmm. it's a fantastic looking thing.
Really stunning.
Have they done anything with Nutcracker before?
Disney hasn't. I mean, other than, no. Well, maybe, I don't know, any 80s, small 80s mm. projects, but not that I know of, nothing animated, nothing. Yeah. And it's something that, because, you know, ballets are done every year and redone and re-envisioned, like, it's mm-hmm. something very ripe for Disney to sort of latch onto. It's very imaginative, another world sort of thing.
It's somebody that everybody knows, at least aware of it, you know?
Yeah. It's totally in their wheelhouse. Yeah.
Yeah. If they can dig into this and do something special with it, sure. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. I think it looks really good. I think it's going to do well. And obviously the timing of it is great coming out in November, since Nutcracker is very much a holiday oriented story. Go check out the teaser for it.
It's great. It's really visually beautiful.
Yeah.
Definitely.
On the lines of that, did you guys see the trailer for Smallfoot?
Yes.
Yeah, I did see that one. Yep.
I know it's not on our show notes, but that trailer, like, got me so excited about it. It looked so funny. We were actually writing Expedition Everest yesterday, which has, like, a whole Yeti thing.
Okay.
And one of the guys was like, I love Yetis. And I was like, well, did you see the trailer for Smallfoot? And he hadn't seen it. When I told him the premise, he like freaked out and was like so excited about it. So I wanted to bring it up. If you haven't seen the promo, it looks amazing.
Yeah, it does look different than almost anything else out there. So I'm looking forward to that one.
Yeah, the premise is that it's a Bigfoot village and it's all the Bigfoots. And then a human comes to town and it's like the legend of the Smallfoot. Mm-hmm. And it's like they're all like, oh, it does exist.
Yeah.
So it looks really fresh and fun. So just wanted to mention that one in the trailer.
Yeah.
In the trailer
Cool. Speaking of stuff coming up that we may or may not be looking forward to, the teaser poster was released for M. Night Shyamalan's Glass coming out in January.
Yeah.
I don't know what to think about this, Tim. I know you're excited about it. I'm kind of excited about it. But
Lizzie, I just read this description and I just freaked out and got really excited about it.
Okay. So maybe on the oddball, but I don't know. His movies just don't seem to be as good as I think we all want them to be sometimes. I don't know. You know, The Sixth Sense was such a great concept and it was amazing and wow, you know, and every time he tries to do a movie, there's always a little twist to it. And you're like, now you're looking for it. And it's like, okay, well, yeah, I saw that coming now.
I mean, it's Sixth Sense.
That's how I feel about his stuff.
You had The Village. I love The Village. And that's a movie that would probably freak Lizzie out.
I've never seen it. I did see Signs. The Village? Signs freaked me out.
The Village is the one where it's like this, seems like this, like stuck in the 1800s kind of.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. I know. Yeah.
It's like Children of the Corn.
And it's
his movies have
it's
great,
such a great story.
It is. But there's always that he tries to do a twist with everything. And it's like, okay, don't try so hard.
Yeah.
Like, what was the one with Joaquin Phoenix and
The Village?
Mel Gibson.
Oh,
Signs. I liked Signs a lot.
Signs.
Yeah,
it was a good movie, but it was like they telegraphed the ending from the whole freaking thing with the glasses of water and stuff. I'm like,
they did. I think you're right. You know, he's become a trope of himself, which is tough when you have something that is that works so well in we just said it. What is the name of the? No, The Sixth Sense. I was got away from me. It was such because that was like so different, so like shocking.
Well, that was his first movie, and it was like no one ever did anything like that before. And I was like, wow, this is amazing.
Right.
And when you get back and watch it the second time, you're like, oh my God.
Yeah.
You know, it's like now you can see it. But you know, okay, so the first one, Unbreakable, right?
Good movie.
The first one of this trilogy he's putting together. Bruce Willis and Samuel L. Jackson.
Yep.
And, you know, good movie throughout, although I kind of called the ending from the beginning just because for me it was about the colors they were wearing. And it was like, okay, very comic book-esque. Mm. This guy's always wearing green. That guy's always wearing purple.
Yep.
And, you know, it kind of fell into place. Now, I didn't see Split, which is the second movie
Split
in this trilogy.
Split is so good.
I was very interested in it.
But I just never saw it. Yeah, me too.
But it looked scary, so I was like, no.
Yeah. Yeah, Split was really good. And it is very much M. Night Shyamalan kind of thriller, sometimes bordering on a horror type of thing, but not like, you know, bloody horror kind of stuff. And I'm just so, I'm really intrigued by him bringing these characters together. Because you have three very, very different characters between Bruce Willis's David Dunn and Samuel Jackson's Glass, and then James McAvoy's Beast. And just so interesting. So something to keep an eye on. San Diego Comic-Con is like right around the corner. It's like 2 weeks from now.
It is.
So they have said that Glass is going to have a Hall H panel. Which is obviously a really big deal. Hall H is their biggest hall there.
That's their big hall, yep.
So, yeah, I mean, I would expect that Bruce Willis and Samuel L. Jackson and McAvoy and M. Night Shyamalan will all be up there on the stage and probably with a handful of other people. And it'll be really cool to see what comes out of that and to see what's, you know, the hype for this movie, which is about 6 months away. So January 18th is when it's going to be coming out.
That's not very long.
No.
I bet they'll have... Well, I don't know if they'll have a trailer. Is it already made?
I don't.
It would.
I don't know, but I mean, six months away, I imagine, right?
Yeah, I mean,
I imagine the photography's already done.
Yeah, principal photography is hopefully done. So at this point, they're probably doing some editing and cleaning it up and maybe doing some additional shots and that kind of stuff. That might be a little bit ahead of schedule for them, but
yeah. That's a lot of star power, and I feel like all really great actors. And regardless of having sort of a derivative tropey, like I do this all the time thing, he's still a great storyteller. Even if you can see the ending coming, I think he really captivates you with his storytelling. So, yeah. And his visuals, he's got really great eye for, I don't know, Signs. As much as Signs was predictable, it totally drew me in. I loved Signs. I've never actually seen Unbreakable, and I didn't see Split yet, so don't tell me anything.
I haven't seen Split. You know what's funny? I haven't seen. Did he do The Lady in the Water?
Yeah.
I haven't seen that one either.
I didn't see The Sixth Sense till like maybe 4 years ago, and I remained unspoiled on the ending, shockingly enough, because it's in movies and TV shows, and everybody spoils it. It's like a joke now to spoil The Sixth Sense. Have you seen those T-shirts where it's like all a list of spoilers?
No,
like no context spoilers, like he was dead the whole time and all those kind of things. But like, I remained unspoiled until I watched it, wow. Which was fairly recently as far as how old the movie is.
Yeah, I'm surprised by that. It's funny, I'm looking at Box Office Mojo for him right now as director, and his stuff is so up and down. It's really weird. I mean, you know, The Sixth Sense was almost $300 million. And back in 99, that's a pretty amazing feat.
That's a lot.
Unbreakable was only 95. Signs was 227. The Village is 114. And Lady in the Water and The Happening were both like under, well, 42 and 64.
I think maybe word of mouth kills him. Really kills him.
I forgot he did After Earth, too.
Oh.
That only did 60. And The Visit did 65. He's been up and down. It's just so weird. But
I think if people really like it, then it'll do well. If people really hate it, I mean, that's true with a lot of movies. But I think his movies, because of the perception going in, is really beholden to a lot of word of mouth stuff.
Yeah, sure.
I don't know if that's true, but it just seems.
Split did well. Split was coming back up. Split did 140 almost. Yeah. So.
But I think that was because word of mouth was that it was really like a really good movie, and that sort of got around that. When it first came out and people were talking about it, they were like, oh, it's different. It's better. Mm-hmm. Like, and I think that plays well for him because he does have a rep, you know?
Well, and I like what you said, Lizzie, about him kind of defining his own trope, which I think he absolutely has. And you know what? It works for him. So, I mean, he's kind of carved out his own niche for the type of movie that he does. And for the most part, you can watch a movie and say, this is an M. Night Shyamalan movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, true.
I mean, that's
in the way that like, you know, Spielberg, things are Spielbergian and like Hitchcock and like lots of big dynamic directors where you can really see their thing. He's got that, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's, I think, I don't know. I like him. I'm into it.
Okay. Well, January 18th, we'll look forward to that one.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see here. Oh, teaser poster for Siberia, the new thriller starring Keanu Reeves. And, oh, dude, it's a teaser, Tim. I didn't even see the teaser yet.
Yeah.
Damn you.
And it fell so flat on me. I just...
Really? Oh.
Yeah, I'm just not impressed by it. I, you know, when it says Keanu Reeves, you want the... Matrix and John Wick Keanu Reeves. You don't want the other Keanu Reeves. And I'm so think
like
that
Speed
we got
Keanu Reeves, the by other the way.
Elizabeth.
I mean, Matrix is the best one. And so is John Wick. But I love Speed Keanu Reeves. Come on.
Yeah. This is still, I think this is the other Keanu Reeves that we got here. Like Point Break without being as much of a surfer dude.
I like the lake house Keanu Reeves.
Yes.
Oh, Lord.
I predicted that.
How dare you? How dare you be so accurate about me?
It's
funny because he's done so much stuff that's been either really good or just really bad. It's like, and he gets such a bad rep for the bad stuff.
He gets a bad rep that carries into the good stuff, and then people are shocked by him.
And that happens time and time again.
Both sides.
Yeah. And then there's some stuff that he's done that I think is underrated. Like, I think the movie with him and Charlize Theron, Sweet November, which was like maybe 2000, 2001. I thought that was a fantastic movie. Love that movie.
And then there's movies like The Lake House that just blow you away with their quality.
And The Lake House actually was a pretty good movie. I never saw it.
It's just a sweet little, it's like, it's a Nicholas Sparks that wasn't Nicholas Sparks. Like, it should have been, but it wasn't.
Right.
My dad likes to talk about magic mailboxes all the time. Like, he'll be like, oh, is this a magic mailbox? But yeah, it's not like his best, but I enjoy it.
I will watch.
Keanu is one that will pull me in just from his name being attached to it because I like him that much. And even if I get like doofus Keanu or action Keanu, like I'll take whatever Keanu I can get.
Yeah,
because I love him.
So
yeah, I do like him in most things. Even stuff that's been kind of critically panned, I still will watch him.
He's still enjoyable to watch, even as a doofus. Like, I'm in for it.
The teaser they did for this is actually kind of long for a teaser. It's almost like what we would regard as trailer length. About halfway through it, I was bored. I was like, all right, I get it.
Tim's attention spans now 2 minutes.
Oh, not even. Because I was like, seconds. I'm.
Yeah. The trailer was only 2 minutes and 13 seconds. So Tim was bored after about a minute.
Yeah. At about a minute. I was like, are you going to show me something good? Because I haven't seen it yet. That's kind of where I was at.
Wait. Was Keanu's face in the teaser?
Yeah.
Then they showed you something good. You just weren't paying attention. He's got a good face. Boyfriend level face.
Oh boy. Okay, moving right along because I'm about 40 seconds into the trailer. I'm going to pass on this. So
see,
Oh my gosh! Look, I'm not listening to the audio, so it probably loses a lot.
You don't miss much with the audio either. I'm telling you, it's a really really weak teaser. Folks, go find it, watch it for yourself. It's Siberia with Keanu Reeves. You know, be an informed consumer. Let us know what you think about it. And certainly as time goes on, we'll see some more promotion for it. But so that's that.
And hopefully how he walks. He's got like that bow-legged walk. It's like very strange, but I like it.
Okay, moving right along. lastly, we promised you guys some more Purge news.
Yes.
And now we have an announcement for USA Networks. And sci-fi. Wait, what networks is on, Tim?
It's the article I read said both USA and sci-fi. I don't know how they're doing it. I don't know if both of them are going to play it. I have to imagine that both of these are going to be late night showings because I'd imagine still don't get how Purge can be on these networks anyway. I mean, not that the movies are like that violent. It's mostly really the concept and the subject matter, which is more disturbing than
violence and crime.
Exactly.
How do you, So now NBC is owns sci-fi. They don't own in USA, do they?
Actually, you know what? I think they do because when the Olympics are on all the NBC networks and on USA.
Okay, no, it makes sense that they're doing something here with both of them.
So yeah, we're going to have
screening on both USA Network and Sci-Fi. Yeah. Interesting.
So we're going to have a Purge TV series. It's going to be coming out in September. So like, I'm amazed that maybe they mentioned something about this before, but I'm amazed that we didn't know about this earlier because September is right around the corner. I mean, this is July now.
Right.
There is a teaser that's out for it, which looks pretty good. I'm intrigued. I think this is going to do well on the heels of the upcoming Purge movie. What the heck's the name of it? The first Purge.
The first Purge, yes.
So you know, I think this is going to be good. I'm intrigued by it. I'm a little cautious about what they're going to do in a TV series, and I don't know. If they do it wrong, it can be done really wrong. I mean, it can't just be the same thing over and over and over again. But if you take a different slant on it, if it's too different, that's not going to be appealing.
Horror movies have done that forever. Horror movies have always gone back to that well, time and time and time again, until you're done with that and you're like, oh, why are they still doing, you know, The Purge 25?
Yeah.
Hey, Saul, looking at you.
Right. But if they keep it fresh, like Tim says, if they take a different bent on it, yeah, I can see them going on with this. And Tim, I got to correct you before you said this was the third Purge movie. It's actually the fourth.
Is it?
Yeah, we had
there's already too many.
we had The Purge, we had The Purge Anarchy, and then last year was The Purge Election Year.
Oh, Anarchy is the one I forgot about. Okay. Because I remembered Election Year.
And now we have the confusing fourth one that's the first Purge.
Yes. Yep.
It's a time jump.
Yep.
you wanted the backstory to Purge.
Absolutely. It's an interesting backstory. I wanted to see it.
I was being very sarcastic, and apparently you really did want the backstory to Purge.
You were being sarcastic.
Tim has been praising how good these movies are for the last while.
I like them.
So I'm going to check out The Purge on Netflix, I think, this coming week.
Yeah.
And then go see the first Purge afterward, because I think The Purge and The Purge Anarchy are both on Netflix right now. And, you know, they've done respectably well dollar-wise. I'm looking at Box Office Mojo. The first one made $64 million. Anarchy made $71 million, and The Election Year made $79 million.
Hard pass.
Odd to see sequels of a film doing progressively better than the original. I mean, you don't get that a lot of times. So I think that shows this kind of cult following.
Is that true
Purge
of horror films, though?
I feel like
horror builds on itself because what horror does is like do the sequel thing. And I don't know box office numbers, but I feel like they do better because
you mentioned Saw, and that's one that has what?
Six?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Six plus a 3D version. Yeah. So,
yeah. But after like the first Saw 56 3, million. It just dropped off.
Not number wise. I mean, it wasn't until the Saw 6. First one made 56, then it made 87, then 80, then 63, then 56, and the last one hit the skids at 27.
Saw 1 and Saw 2 were great. The rest of them I thought were just crap.
I only saw Saw 1 and 2.
I think Freddy, Jason, right Halloween, like these have seen lots and lots of iterations and lots of sequels, and feel like reboots. When you are hitting an audience like that, you know what I mean? I don't know. I don't.
Horror
I think
movies
it's
tend
different.
To get more forgiveness, I think, when they come out with a sequel.
Yeah, they
and
do.
Fans of that franchise will keep going to see it, even though it's crap.
Yeah, they do. They do give
for the 18th time.
Like they get more of a wide berth than other sequels for some reason. And they're worse because they're stupid horror, but
because they're not taken so seriously. So yeah, yes, right. I think that's why they're. That's why they're given that pass because people just want to see the movie for the movie.
Right. Yeah, it's a different scale, I think. Yeah.
And I'm guilty of that. I'll go see, you know, a sequel to a horror movie because it was good.
Mm-hmm. You're guilty, Lou.
I tend to not do the fifth and sixth versions of them.
So I'm excited for it.
I don't even do the first one.
Yeah, we'll see what happens come September and see how much they can show on regular television. Although, not to be the old man here, but you know, television's changed a lot in the last 30 years.
as far as what they will show
and what they do on TV, it's like, really, they do that on TV? Okay.
Well, they do that on the old talking box. Wow.
That's right. Oh, come on, Lizzie.
Just kidding.
Easy there. Although I will say, those two years ago, when we were watching something, we both paused and we watch it in DVR now. So I'm like, I don't know what time it comes on or you know what night it's on. I'm like, we paused like. Did they just say that? This is still on network TV, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, it doesn't bother me, but I'm like, is this like an 8 o'clock show on like regular TV? They said that word? I'm like, really? Okay.
It's a whole new world.
Yeah.
Funny. So we're going to squeeze this last thing in here really quickly, Tim, for the What Were They Thinking Weekly. Yeah. And this does come back to an old friend of ours from the What Were They Thinking Weekly who's been on here occasionally.
Yeah.
Jim Carrey.
We still don't know what he's thinking.
No, nobody does. So, and this was news to me too, that they're doing a Sonic the Hedgehog movie, which I hadn't heard about. Have you guys heard about this upcoming project?
Only because of Tim.
Okay, yeah. So Tim must be following this extremely closely.
I think I saw it announced by like Rotten Tomatoes or something, and Sonic the Hedgehog does not need a movie, so that's part of the what were they thinking?
Yeah, exactly.
And then the second part of this is that Jim Carrey is going to star in the role as Dr. Robotnik. And this is going to be one of those presumably live action-ish movies, you know, where they animate the things in that they have to, they CG them in, but
right,
everything else is live action. And I'm sorry, nothing in this formula works for me. No. And that's it. You wanted to address this quickly. I just did it quickly.
you did. You
the word did. Is no.
Yeah. What else beyond but no yeah. do we have to say?
Yeah, no, I think that really covers it.
The thing that bothers me is, Sonic the Hedgehog is what? It was a Sega game, right?
Yes.
Back in Sega.
Back
in when? When was Sonic the Hedgehog?
Early 90s.
Wow. And it took them this long to get a movie together.
Yeah.
Well, I think other people thought, hey, it doesn't need one. And someone came around and was like, hey, what if we did a Sonic movie?
And somebody else had to go, yeah.
Someone was like, it's someone's kid.
Yeah. Someone had to have the idea and someone had to agree with it. And both of them might need to be lynched. Not that I'm promoting
violence.
It's
like Hal Steel.
Maybe we should combine this with the Purge movie.
Ooh.
Yes.
Yeah, we have a concept.
Sonic the Sacrificed Hedgehog.
The Sonic Purge.
Maybe Sonic is doing the killing.
And just because I know you guys are dying to know, the first game came out in 91.
Wow. All right, so early 90s, there you go.
Wow, okay.
Wow is right.
I think that brings us to the end of the episode because there's nothing else to say after a live action-esque Sonic the Hedgehog movie.
Yeah.
If anybody has any feedback for us, we'd love to hear from you guys. The best way to get a hold of all three of us is send an email to randomchatter@randomchatter.com.
You can also find us online on Twitter @randomchatter. Individually, you can find us online at Tim.
Qui-Gon Tim, that's Tim with two M's.
Lou?
Lou Skywalker, that's Skywalker without the E.
He's not actually a Skywalker, don't get excited. And I'm at Nerd in the City, both on Instagram and on Twitter. And we are also on Instagram as a network at Random Chatter. Lou's funny. Lou has toys and he's showing them to us.
You can also find all of our shows online at randomchatter.com. We have polls up there. We have all sorts of stuff. You can find our shows across multiple platforms on there. We have links to them. Please be sure to check out our other shows, except for Movie Rampage, because we're not doing that anymore.
Cannot check that. Well, you can
don't
check
start
out our
it
old
now
shows.
And get attached to it. Yeah, but then you get attached to it and then find it's not there anymore and be like, oh.
Yeah.
Or that's promo for our season finale cliffhanger. Hello.
Boom. There it is.
Marketing.
We also appreciate you spreading the word and helping to support us. Word of mouth is a great thing. Tell your friends, family members, coworkers, total strangers, anyone who you know who's interested in entertainment, nerd culture, geek culture, pop culture, whatever it is that you want to call it, the kind of stuff that we talk about here at Random Chatter, not just the show, but the entire network. Giving people those referrals is probably the best way to boost our numbers. That always does incredible work for us. Also, please be sure to leave us reviews wherever you get your podcasts. So places like iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and TuneIn, even though I never heard of TuneIn. But that's a place where we apparently put our podcast through. I blame Eric. So click on all the stars, write in a couple sentences about, you know, why you like what we do. Something that would kind of like intrigue someone to say, hey, I'm going to give them a try and listen to us. And hopefully, like all good street drugs, they get hooked on us and they just can't let go. They keep needing a fix and we keep providing you with more and more stuff. This is why Eric tells me I shouldn't use analogies.
Tim knows lots about drugs, apparently.
Folks, I am not endorsing drug use. I am not making light of drug use. I'm just simply comparing our awesomeness to the high that you get from... I'm just going to stop now.
Tim is getting worse and worse.
Soon to be coming to Random Chatter is Tim's PSA.
Move on to Patreon, Tim, and just move along.
Patreon, you can also support us financially, which is a huge help. We are a growing network, despite losing a show. We are a growing network. Certainly over the last few months, we have added a lot of shows to our repertoire here. Repertoire, that's a good word to use at 11 o'clock at night.
That's a $5 word.
$6.50.
Why does it cost so much?
Oof. It's gone up. And so that financial support you can do by way of Patreon. If you head over to randomchatter.com/Patreon, you can find out how to donate to us, our different donation levels, and what we give back to you. The lowest donation level is $1 a month. And even with that, you get access to our Discord network, which is like 60-some-odd channels in there right now. We talk about pets and alcohol and Star Wars and Jurassic World, and we have rooms for all of our shows, and we talk about, gosh, like everything and anything under the sun. There's probably a room for it or something that has to do with it. It's a good time. You get to interact with our hosts like Lou and Liz, who show up on occasion.
I have to be called in like Beetlejuice.
And she does. You have to call her three times. Then she shows up. Then you immediately regret it.
No, not factual at all.
Wow. And a lot of our other listeners, we add listeners like several a week, keep coming in there. So it's a great thing. Beyond that, with Patreon, you get up levels, $5 a month, $10 a month, that kind of thing. You will get early access to shows. You will get a premium content that doesn't go out to the general public. And so it's all good stuff, and we greatly appreciate your support. You can also get into Discord. We do have some free areas of Discord. So we have a public lobby and some other channels, like our show channels. If you go to randomchatter.com/Discord, it'll give you instructions there on how to create an account in Discord. And you can just come in and hang out with us. It doesn't cost you anything. And again, you get to hang out with hosts and other listeners, and it's a good time. So we definitely appreciate all of your support in whatever way you are able to do so.
And the music you hear in the podcast is The Perfect Heist of Blue Stolly. And with that, we are out of here for the week, guys. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
Bye-bye.